One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Make It Rain. I'm your host, Hillary Hagerman.
And I'm Elizabeth DiFilippo.
We've got some pretty special news coming up later, don't we, Lib?
It's a pretty big deal.
We will reveal our special news to you faithful listeners a little later on, but you have to stay tuned in, so don't think about leaving us. But before that, we have some stuff to talk about.
It's a big Royals week, like probably the biggest since I started here.
Except for maybe Kate's baby.
I just blocked it all out like childbirth.
You had a dream not that long ago.
A couple of days ago, I purposely came into the office and told you so that I could put it on record. I had a dream that Meghan Markle was going to announce that she was having a baby in April 2019. Monday morning, what do we find out?
For those of you who don't know, that is what we found out.
I'm so, like, we've known about this for weeks, though.
Yeah, we've had a theory that she's pregnant for about 3 weeks now. And body shamers will say it's because we think she's getting fat. That's not it.
It's because her bum was getting bigger.
I thought you said it was because she looked like she had just come from throwing up.
Well, that too. But I'm just saying, she was very thin girl and her bum had a little bit more. I say it once, I say it again. You got to build the foundation before you can build the house.
Them's are childbirth and hips.
I'm just saying, I look at Meghan Markle more than I look at myself in the mirror. I notice when our butt gets bigger.
You notice when my butt gets bigger?
I don't want to tell you anything.
Okay, butts aside, they're pregnant. It's official.
It's official. Apparently, she's in her second trimester. So, reported by people, she's about 15 weeks along.
That's a long time to hide a pregnancy, I guess. I don't really know.
I think that's normal. Typically, people wait until their 12-week scan.
Yeah, sure.
But, like, literally, I'd be like, roll over in bed and be like, I'm pregnant. The second postcoital that it happens. Lights a cigarette. I'm pregnant.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. So the baby, royal baby, is due in April 2019, which you called. No indication if it'll be a girl or a boy yet, what the names might be. We're going to have to wait for that.
Typically, royals don't announce the sex of their child. Whether or not they find out privately is another thing. So I don't think that we're ever going to find out what Meghan and Harry are having until the very morning.
I texted you this morning and said, I wish it was Friday. Friday in May 2019. This is just too much royal stuff all the time. It's new news.
I know. It's not even the baby. It's the waiting for the name announcement. So all of April is going to be just waiting by our phones, like hoping that it's not born in the middle of the night because that will just ruin everything.
It's going to be stressful.
It will.
We were talking about this after Princess
Eugenie. Apparently we've been saying her name wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
It's not Eugenie.
It's Eugenie. Eugenie.
Yeah.
You got to get a little Cockney accent going there.
You have to say it like, use your knee.
So apparently Harry and Meghan did something that we think is horrific. And at Princess Eugenie's special day, they revealed their pregnancy. They stole the spotlight and told all their friends and family that they were pregnant. At her wedding.
I've had some mixed reviews about this. One person, friend to the pod, Lainey Gossip, said that this was a timing issue and that they had to tell them in person before they went to Australia and everyone could see a baby bump, which there is no baby bump. It's a Thanksgiving dinner bump at best.
Yeah.
However, for me, I wouldn't be as mad if somebody announced that they were pregnant at my wedding, because maybe, you know, they're not drinking, everyone's going to notice. I'd be more upset if someone proposed at my wedding. I think that's so tacky.
I agree. But to me, this is kind of like Eugenie. I'm just going to call her Eugenie. That's what she is to me. I find it very difficult to say her true name. I'm sorry if you're listening. But this is kind of like if you had that one really popular, pretty friend in high school and you had like kept in touch, but you felt like you were kind of like the ugly duckling compared to her, and you invited her to your wedding. The one day you get to upstage her and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. And everyone shifts their attention to her.
First of all, I don't have those friendships. I burn them to the ground or don't even get into them.
Well, I don't have any friends, so this is a theoretical situation. It's never happened to me.
I can kind of understand, because Harry and Meghan have been in the spotlight for like 2 years. It's been all about Harry and Meghan, Harry and Meghan. Before that, it was all about Will and Kate, Will and Kate. Now this is your one chance for all eyes to be on you. But I mean, to be fair, they didn't publicly announce it until the Monday. So Eugenie had a full weekend. She had 3 days
Woo-hoo.
To bask in the glory.
Thanks, Harry and Meg.
Way to take one for the team, guys.
I just don't know why they didn't announce it like 2 weeks ago.
I don't know.
If she's already 15 weeks pregnant.
Maybe because then all stories would be just about her at the wedding.
They were anyway. Everyone was just saying she is pregnant.
That's true. I don't know. We'll never know.
I don't know. Let's talk about the wedding. We'll just give you a short update. I know that at this point, it was a while ago, but we have some thoughts that we haven't gotten into yet. What did you think of the wedding?
I loved it. Just going to say this, 5 out of 5 stars on Rotten Tomatoes. I thought it was the greatest rom-com of the year, because I felt like I don't know much about Eugenie and Jack, so I wasn't, I didn't have that like oversaturated I just wanted them to just walk down the aisle, say that they loved each other and blah, blah, blah. But I felt like they were actually very in love.
Yeah. And when we were up at the crack of dawn on Friday morning to cover the royal wedding, we were kind of talking. We were watching the ceremony. We were like, holy shit, this is long, but it's really good. And they seem to really like each other. Like it was very, it had a real personal element that I didn't feel that Meghan and Harry's had the entire way through. Obviously, there's that love there, and you could see that in the special moments with Harry and Meghan.
But it's too much, though. I have this thing with Harry and Meghan where I feel like they are so sometimes
annoying.
Too tactile, like with each other. Like, you don't need to be holding hands all the time. You don't. Sure, on your wedding day, that's when you can hold each other's hands. But, like, with all the cameras on them, they knew that this was a big event. Like, it was just, they were very aware that all eyes were on them and the magnitude of this wedding for the royal family. With Eugenie and Jack, it endeared me because, first of all, the weather was shit. That wind.
It was really windy.
That was the favorite game of the day, was watching people go into the church and, like, their hat blows up and their skirt
tumbled
flies.
A little page boy down.
Yeah, it knocked over 2 page boys. All the beautiful decor that they had by the west entrance was just like blowing over in the wind.
It was very fall feels, like a true fall children wedding, which I like as a child of darkness.
I loved the decor, loved the tiara, hated the dress.
You hated the dress?
Yeah, I can't be pleased in any way.
I wouldn't say the dress wasn't a 10 out of 10 for me, but it was leaps and bounds better than Meghan's dress in my mind. I thought it fit her really nicely. I thought it was elegant, but still had a bit of a personality. We were talking about this, that we wish she would have just worn the reception dress
by Zac Posen
as the wedding dress in a nice white shade.
So I read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, but it sounds like the type of like bitchiness that the royals would be into. That when Meghan was getting married, her dress couldn't cost more than Kate Middleton's dress. And like
there were specific
rules that she couldn't upstage her. Do you think everyone, like Eugenie, had a dress in mind and everyone was like, no, since Meghan was shit, yours has to be shit.
But it wasn't shit. It was better than Meghan's.
I loved the reception dress so much.
What did you think of the sequined bomber jacket that she wore to her carnival-themed after-party?
First of all, I hate a theme. The theme is wedding.
But what if it's Coachella Royal Chic?
I think that's cute. It shows personality. Eugenie seems like just the regular girl. She has a full-time job at a gallery. Like, she's not a full-time royal.
She's just like a cool British girl who moved to New York and really loves Coachella.
That's my
That's it.
The plot line of like a best-selling YA novel.
I know.
I'm into it.
I have to leave.
What do you think about Jack?
You know what? I like Jack because he seems like an everyman. He isn't, to me, super attractive. He's not a monster or anything, but he's not like, you don't look at him and you're like, hey, there's a hot guy.
Well, everyone knows that I'm a stan for William.
Yes.
So I definitely, like, he's not my baldy baby like I like, but he seems, but he seems, like a nice guy.
That's what I said. I said he's a nice guy, just not a nice looking guy.
I love that whenever he speaks on camera, he blushes.
The thing about Jack to me is, you know, he's not a royal. To me, he looks like he has some kind of financial advisor role or. Yeah, that's about the only job I can see him in.
Honestly, I was saving this for the pod. My first impression was him as like, he looks like an accountant who can fuck. I'm just saying. No, he looks like just a nice guy that maybe like you never notice in the office. And then one day you notice him and you're just like, man, how did I miss it all along?
So another great part about this wedding was Fergie, the Duchess.
The star of the show.
Sarah Ferguson. She's awesome. She's the best.
She was gif-able, meme-worthy. She stole the show, in my opinion.
And she had to deal with seeing Prince Philip for the first time, or they were photographed together for the first time in, was it 26 years or something?
It was reported that the day of the wedding was when he would decide if he was going to go, which, for reference, where the Queen lives at Windsor Castle is literally maybe like a 3-minute walk across a pile of grass to get to the chapel. Like, it's not far. But people were saying that because of his dislike of Fergie, he wasn't going
to
go.
And because of the fact that people have to carry him like Weekend at Bernie's.
He's been dead.
He's
for
been
50
dead for years.
Years.
They put his suit on, put some sunglasses on, a nice neon windbreaker, and they carry him across the yard.
A windbreaker.
That's what Bernie wears.
I mean, that's what Prince Philip wears.
Okay, so the wedding wraps up. Harry and Meghan ruin it by telling everyone they're pregnant. And then 2 days later, 2.5 days later, they jet off to Australia. They leave everyone in their dust.
They arrive looking like a breath of fresh air. Like, I've never gotten off a flight looking as good as they look.
When I go on a flight to visit my family in New Brunswick, as a 2.5-hour flight, I look haggard. I roll into Fredericton, potentially international airport. I don't think so. And I look like shit. How did... What?
I don't know.
This is a really big tour. They're first of this caliber as like a married couple.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
It's so much. So a little bit of background is this is 16 days. And throughout the 16 days, there are 76 engagements.
Nope.
That is so many. That's so much stuff.
Literally having one thing to do a day, which is show up to work, some days is too much.
Can't
for
do
me.
It.
Can't do it. Won't do it.
It's only been the first few days and we're already seeing her, Meghan, that is, change outfits, you know, 2 or 3 times a day.
So because of Meghan's such busy schedule, she flew out her stylist.
Drum roll, please.
Friend of the podcast.
Jessica Mulrooney.
My best friend in my head.
Note, not actual friend to the podcast.
I said best friend in my head.
Oh, sorry.
So she flew out... apparently on an unofficial basis, which means that Jessica and Ben Mulrooney paid for themselves, which I don't really believe because she is on Meghan's payroll as her stylist.
Yeah, maybe she's getting paid for like her styling duties, but they paid for their own flight. So flights.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know.
So it's a really, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks.
It's going to be busy. There's a lot of koalas.
There's a lot of koalas, and they're rolling up with a pretty big entourage.
Yeah, they have a pretty big entourage. They are traveling with a whole bunch of people. So we have Samantha Cohen, who is their private secretary, and apparently Meghan Markle's private trainer.
She's the one in charge of making sure that Meghan's royal boot camp goes accordingly.
So she's not, for those of you who may have thought she is exercising her, she's only mentally and behaviorally exercising her.
Yes, she is tasked by the Queen to give Markle 6 months of royal tutelage.
And what better way?
What better way
than to send them on a big ass trip
to Australia?
To Australia. Okay, then we have one of our favorite people, Amy Pickerel, who is Meghan's deputy private secretary. This morning we woke up and we saw that. So we follow this Twitter account, Meghan's Mirror, which tells us within seconds most of the time what Meghan is wearing, whether it's like six seasons old or brand new or sold out. They find it.
They're doing God's work. Really.
They're doing God's work. And today we woke up and found out that there is a What Amy Wore, or sorry, Amy's Mirror. And it is it's just documenting what her personal assistant is wearing.
Which I love because I just imagine it like being like made in Manhattan where it's like, this doesn't fit me. You can wear it. And then Amy just puts on a new shirt.
She's like, let's do it. They are also traveling with three communication staffers, program coordinator, an orderly, personal assistant, hairdresser, and their digital officer, who I assume is their communications person, basically.
Who literally just tweets and Snapchats the whole thing.
That would be the best job.
Yeah, it would.
Anyway, so they're traveling with quite a big crew. And in addition, there's a ton of security that is kind of surrounding them all times.
They had snipers on the Sydney Opera House overlooking their walkabout just in case anyone tried to pull a fast one. That's terrifying.
She's pregnant now. You got to protect the seventh in line to the throne.
No one cares after five.
Hey, you never know. Never know what might happen.
That's true. I hated those stories that are like, will Meghan and Harry's baby ever be king? I'm like, you're literally condemning my little baby George and Charlotte
leave George alone.
And Louis to death to fulfill some sick fantasy.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to talk about how the royals actually get to Australia. Stay with us. And we're back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Back.
And we're back.
And we're back. And we're back.
So one of the things when planning a royal tour is logistics. And you may think that like Prince Charles, who only flies private, that Meghan and Harry would do the same. Not so, my friend. They travel commercial.
They do. They are, and they, I wonder if they have a personal toilet seat cover.
They're too good for the tissues that to just make a nest, Megan. Hover, hover. That's what I do. A
couple of episodes ago, you may remember we revealed that Prince Charles apparently has his own toilet seat.
Not just
that
he travels with. A white leather toilet seat.
It's a white leather toilet seat. Harry and Meghan, to be confirmed, but they do fly commercial. So if they have their own, they just carry it with them. When our pals, the royals, travel, they don't just travel like us, where you buy like a piece of luggage from the bay on sale in like 1996 and you still use it even though the zipper doesn't close. And then you just wrap a plastic bag around it. They don't do that, unfortunately. They are a little more stylish travelers. So on William's trip to Australia, which is kind of like what maybe Harry and Meg should kind of go for, royal watchers were given a glimpse of his luggage, which was emblazoned with the letter W and a crown, because his name is William and he's a royal.
Do you ever think, though, like I do this, I put like a colorful ribbon on it so that when it's in the luggage carousel, I can see it. They're like, which one's yours?
He's like, hey, it's the W with the crown.
Exactly.
Oh, I don't know what accent that was. So when the royals travel, there is a weird rule. I don't think it's always enforced, but the rule or the protocol dictates that two heirs to the throne should never travel together. So Prince Charles should not travel with Prince William. William should not travel with George, etc. They actually kind of made headlines for this when they came to Canada in 2016 because they all flew together.
I remember my parents actually being like this when we were younger. Like if they had to travel alone or travel together, they used to like always talk about who gets the kids if something ever happened to them. Nothing ever did.
All immigration rules apply for the royals. They are not exempt from any, you know, customs lines. I guess they probably get the easy pass.
Oh, yeah. They're go to that short line for like the frequent businessmen who travel.
Or like when you're standing in the really long line and like the airline people get to go up and just go through.
Yeah.
Man, what a life.
They definitely take advantage of TSA. However, the Queen still has to do a security check.
Although she doesn't have a passport.
She doesn't have a driver's license either.
Neither do I. Just like the Queen.
No, the Queen is the only person who doesn't need a passport and she doesn't have a driver's license, which, I mean, she's the Queen. But could you imagine, like, being the person to, like, pat down the Queen and just being like, I don't even think if I saw the Queen, I'd believe. I think it was a person in character as the Queen.
I guess that's why you got to do the identity check.
That's true.
You could rip off the Queen mask and it's Baldy Baby or something.
Oh, this next rule goes to what we were just talking about.
Oh, so sad.
No track pants when you fly.
Oh, man, I think about, okay, I don't like wearing track pants. I find them disgusting. But I do like wearing a good pair of leggings. So I wonder if leggings are also exempt.
I imagine so. I mean, I have this whole thing that leggings aren't pants. Don't get me started. Don't at me.
I'm not wearing them to work.
But I also feel like if you're traveling, maybe what they do is they wear comfy clothes once they're on the plane and then they change before they get off the plane.
Yeah. Is this like, does someone on the plane, is one of their 12 people on their security team like tasked with making sure they're not wearing track pants at any time? Like Harry goes to put his glasses on before bed, comes out wearing trackies, and they're like, excuse me, mate, gotta pants up.
I don't even want to see anyone in this office in track pants. Whenever sports comes in track pants, I'm like, guys, we're never going to be the times if you keep dressing like this. Like, we need to up our game. However, on a 24-hour flight, I'm going to allow you an elastic waist pant.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's only fair.
The least I can do.
If they rolled off the plane wearing track pants, that would be lame.
Could you imagine?
Actually, it'd be hilarious.
If they like rolled off the plane with like that neck pillow just around their neck and like headphones.
Like
and
they're all arriving to Tallahassee, Florida.
Exactly. It starts now. Tallahassee 2018.
So all things considered, what is the price tag for a royal trip like this? Well, it kind of varies.
You would think that a lot of places would just want to be known as the place where William and Kate stayed, like in exchange for them staying. But apparently royals aren't allowed to do that.
That's kind of weird. That's all I was going to say.
I like it though. I mean, from the flip side, my taxes don't go to funding this for them.
Right.
So maybe I'd be like, hey, take the free stay at the Marriott. I don't really care what you do.
So when Prince William went to Japan by himself, Japan and China, his tour cost about $100,000. And Kate's trip to New York with William was a pretty modest royal trip, only cost $26,000. Nice.
Again, I don't know where that comes from, that number comes from.
We'll just believe it.
I mean, I could try. I could probably spend that much if I tried really hard. One of the things, though, that we've been talking about a lot with the royals, and especially with Meghan Markle, is who's funding this tour wardrobe? You are, my friend. You are.
If you are the British public, then yes, you are. The royals aren't allowed to accept free clothes from designers. So Kate can't take her McQueen for free. Meghan can't take her Givenchy. But what they do instead is their designers will have clothes sent, and they kind of like look through them, pick their favorites, and they have to pay for the ones they keep. So you have to pay for the ones they keep.
No word if it's like at cost, but I mean, some of these price tags can be about like $20,000 for a dress.
Yeah, Meghan wears a lot of, and so does Kate, they wear a lot of bespoke, one-of-a-kind type creations, and that stuff isn't cheap.
Apparently, the royals are given about a $6 million budget per year by Prince Charles to cover the salaries and expenses of their team, and from that budget comes their, you know, wardrobe costs and travel. One report estimated that Kate Middleton spent $400,000 a year on clothing. That's a lot.
That's wild.
And with Meghan Markle's engagement photo dress costing like $78,000 just for one dress, it's going to run this total way up.
This reminds me, our intrepid journalist, Elizabeth DiFilippo, is doing a running total of Meghan Markle's Australia wardrobe cost that you can check out on our website, Yahoo Canada Style.
We first did this with her wardrobe cost for Ireland, which was, $50,000 in 24 hours? That's insane.
So it's going to be pretty high.
16 days, 76 engagements. That's $5.8 million.
It's going to be high. Good Lord. So that brings us to the end of this podcast. And we have some big news. We've been teasing it since the beginning of the episode. So thank you to everyone who stuck through and listened. We have an announcement about our podcast. We've been doing Make It Rain for about 6 months now. And we are going to be taking a bit of a break. We're going to be going into a bit of a hibernation mode for a little while when we work on something really cool and exciting that we're really excited about.
What have been some of your highlights from our first season?
Oh boy, too many names. My highlights from our first season, having Elaine Louis on the podcast was a dream come true. She was so wonderful and such a pleasure to talk to.
I passed out.
I passed right out.
I fell on the floor after.
I loved our royal book clubs. I thought that was really fun. And I liked all our guests.
The shining light for me was our fan, Rachel Stein, in New Zealand, who always supported us from the beginning.
She was right there, giving us LOLs from day one.
She truly
is. She's the
best. Rachel, we love you. Couldn't have done without you.
So, that pretty much wraps it up. We'll be back. Don't worry about that. But in the meantime, you can check out our website, Yahoo Canada Style, for updates on where we're going next season with this podcast and all the other royal gossip and news that you could ever need. And for the last time this season, you can also check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
And be sure to subscribe so that you get the new episode when we come back. Right to your phone.
That's it for us.
Good night and good luck.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.